Welcome to the Artist Mother Podcast, featuring interviews with incredible working artists who are also mothers and compelling conversations regarding parenting and the art world. These conversations create a space for inclusivity and support for artist mothers worldwide. I'm Kaylin Butine, painter, mom of three, and podcast host. I'm so grateful you are tuning in, and I hope you enjoy this episode.
I think that for me, my art and my practice is the thing that is been keeping me sane during the last 4 years. That's why I'm so prolific. I don't think myself like workaholic. It's more like this practice keep me sane, keep my mind busy, and I'm dreaming and hoping and working hard to become something so I can like spend like too much time like being worried about, I don't know, or budget, or oh, I wish the grandpa were here, or etc. So for me, I think that that's the reason, because I'm that prolific, because I am embroidering honestly the whole day.
Carmen Mardones is a Chilean textile artist living in Los Angeles. Her artwork seeks to radically reimagine intimate spaces of memories, dreams, and discovery, exploring variations around traditional embroidery by combining oversized formats, textile sculpture, and the recovery of textile waste. Carmen studied history and arts at the Catholic University of Chile and holds a master's degree in community psychology at the University of Chile, and has training in art therapy and traditional knitting on horsehair. Her artwork has been exhibited in Brie Gallery, Sola Gallery, among others, and her practice has been supported by scholarships and grants from All She Makes, Repaint History, and Not Real Art. Carmen is the mother to a four-year-old, and I'm so thrilled to welcome her to the podcast today to hear more about her work. Carmen, thank you for being here.
Hey, Kayla. Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to talk to you.
Me too.
I can't wait to hear more about your practice and what you've got going on in the studio right now. So first, Carmen, I always like to kind of paint a picture for our listeners of you now and kind of you as a child, and like what's the link that connects you working, living your life as an artist to who you were as a child? Is there something in your childhood that you feel like connects to you being an artist today?
Yeah, definitely. First thing, I'm the oldest sister for 9 siblings. So wow. I'm 32 and my youngest is 12.
Wow.
So I was like, ooh, yeah, I grew in a huge family with a lot of kids, mostly females. And I went to a Catholic school. And there is where I learned home embroidery. Before I was 10 years old, I was learning like how to make, like how to sew and embroidery, like tiny dresses, and those kind of things that you are going to use when you are a mom, you know, like,
I was going to ask, century. Is this like woman's work or is this like art?
No. Woman's work.
Okay.
Yeah. To be like a good wife.
Yeah, good Catholic wife.
Exactly. Before I was 10 years old or around that age.
Yes.
So, and because I was the oldest of my siblings, I think that I was always like really pleased with my parents. And I was always the one who wants to have the kids like time to bed, time to eat, don't bother mom. You know, that kind of daughter. So I was that kind of daughter until I realized that I was pregnant. And when that happened, we didn't expect that, you know. I get like I got panic. Like I didn't want to become the woman that I was raised for, mm-hmm. like the one who was teach at school, who be like a good woman. And even though I don't think that was my parents' intention, because I was the oldest, and my mom, of course, she stay at home, because with that many kids, you right. need to be like... So I was like, I don't want to be like my mom just to stay at home.
Right.
It was a huge work. I recognized that, but I didn't want to be like her. And I didn't want to be like the one who was like taking care of the husband and the kids. So my art is like, it becomes like the way that I can like go against what I was teach for.
Mm-hmm.
So even though I learned how embroidery when I was at school, after I graduate, I stopped embroidery for 6-7 years. And then I started embroidery again when I was like trying to get against my education and what the society was expecting for me. So of course it's related, but it's like, maybe like in a revolution way.
Yeah. And that totally makes sense for your actual visual language, like knowing that you're kind of pushing against this traditional, formal, patriarchal teaching that you had about embroidery and sewing and being a good wife and a good woman. And you're kind of making this like very explosive work with like lots of movement and a rhythm to it, and just like trying to kind of like bust out. There's always this visual tension of the work kind of, literally like your embroidery looks like it's moving and trying to get out of or into like a different space. So yeah. I love that. That makes so much sense.
Yeah, that's why I don't have like a traditional stitch way. I know how to do that, but I'm like doing like long stitches,
right?
Mixing colors that usually they say like pink and red, they don't go together.
Right.
Let's do it. Like, let's mix those colors.
Right.
Like, yeah.
You're a rebel. Wild. You're a rebel, Carmen.
Kind of. Yeah.
So speaking of your work, let's talk about what it looks like. Can you describe it for someone who maybe has never seen it and who doesn't know what we're talking about?
Yeah, I can try. It's always hard for me to describe it, but for me, it's like a really cathartic process. So yeah. I think that when you see my work, you can like get that idea. Like it's full of colors, it gets like kind of movement, but an organic movement, I think,
mm-hmm.
like through the colors.
Yes.
And I'm using like explosive colors. I use a lot of neon colors and also for the last 2 years, I've been embroidery on discarded sheets and pillows. So that's the support that I use for my art. And for the last couple of months, I'm getting more and more like three-dimensional in my work.
Mm-hmm.
So lately I've been working more in like textile sculptor who makes these like freestyle stitches and colors with pillows and discarded sheets.
Yes, I love the turn into sculpture, and we'll talk about that a little bit more.
Hi, I'm Mindy Widock with the Artist Mother team. I wanted to take a moment to share about our Artist Mother Network. You have listened to the podcast and maybe follow along on Instagram, finding support and validation as an artist mother on these platforms. We have a space that offers a more personal experience in the Artist Mother community. Come join our Artist Mother Network, a place where more tangible friendships are created and resources for you as an artist and a mother are abundant. On the network, you will find groups to support your interests, like the Single Mothers Group. Through these subsets, I have personally found forever friends and strength in the wisdom and support of other women. Our network offers free artist talks on so many different topics, Jody Hayes recently gave us a tour of her studio and how she keeps her art life organized. We also have one workshop by an artist a month, offered to you for free with your membership. Tara Carpenter Estrada just walked our members through a trace monotype printing workshop that was so fun. All of our workshops and artist talks are recorded and saved on the network, so you can access them if you aren't able to attend live. I also co-host the morning show with Kaylin Butine. We start Monday mornings in community with you talking about topics deeply relatable in our artist mother identities. We have recently discussed how we can be fearless in our studios, what bravery looks like as an artist, and have shared in vulnerability and what makes us afraid. These morning shows are the best way to start the week. Please don't miss out on this opportunity to connect with us on a deeper level. Our network offers an affordable membership of $11 a month or $121 a year, and your first 2 months are free. This gives you access to our artist talks, workshops, morning show, exhibition opportunities, a growing resource library for artist mothers, and many support groups with other network members based on location and interests. The network also provides you the opportunity to take part in our leadership training so that you may become an artist mother community host in your own geographical area. The network has been such a wonderful source of friendship, community, and artist resources. I am so proud to be part of this artist mother world and am grateful I get to share it with you. I look forward to getting to know your magical self. I will see you on the network. You can find all the information you need to join on our website at artistmotherpodcast.com.
You're one of the embroidery artists. I mean, there's lots of embroidery artists that I love, but you're definitely like at the top of my list because
Thank you.
I always feel surprised when I see your work. Like there's just something about it that looks different. And I think it's that like willingness to kind of push it, you know, like you're always intentionally looking to push the material beyond what somebody would, I think, traditionally think of as embroidery or what you would assume that it can do. You're like, no, let's see how we can, you know, twist a pillow up and see if like the stitches will hold it. And then we'll have these crazy stitches wrapping all the way around, and we'll have a short stitch and a long stitch, and they're talking to each other. And like, there's just this risk taking, I feel like, in your work that is so tactile. Like it's just there. It's so great.
Thank you.
Yeah. So Carmen, we've talked a little bit about this, but is there any other place where you feel like you draw inspiration for your work? Like what are some of the big themes that you're thinking of when you're making your embroidery?
Honestly, I don't know well how to explain this because back in Chile, I was working in a completely different like field, and I was like really intellectual, maybe like reading a lot and like a lot of research and everything. And then, I realized that I was pregnant, and then we moved to the States with a newborn. And for the last 4 years, I've been working at home with my kid, taking care of him like the whole time. I mean, sharing the time with my partner, but he's doing a PhD, so he has like a more like tight agenda than me. So already, even though I have like a lot of reference in my mind, and of course I'm following like a lot of artists on Instagram, so I always like receiving a lot of insight. When I'm creating, I'm usually like letting flow what I'm what I'm feeling, what I like at that moment, because well, you know that like when you are with your kids around and like they want to play with you, they're making questions, they're like they want to eat, you have to cook, etc. And then at the same time, you are trying to make some art. For me, what betters work is like to let it flow. Like it's like a really, really cathartic process. So I think that you can feel that when you see like my stitches, but also my use of the materials is being like really cathartic too. Like, oh, I see a pillow and I say like, okay, I know that some artists already work with the pillow. Let's push the boundaries and let's like see what is gonna happen, but always like at the same time that I'm playing or talking. So yeah, it's like I have references, but at the same time it's like really intuitive and not like thinking too much about what I'm doing.
Yeah, there's a lot of flow and play.
Yeah. Because I feel that if I start like making plans or like doing like research work before, etc., I'm gonna get stuck. It's like I don't have
time. I feel that way too.
Yeah.
Cause then you like, it's almost like you put yourself in a box and you're like, yeah, I have to make work about this thing. And then I think it needs to look like this. And then I don't know, it's like so hard to get in that zone when you kind of have already like painted the picture in your mind.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And probably if you do that, you are going to need to do some research or make some like draw at night. But at night I'm tired. I just want to go to bed because the kid is going to wake up earlier. So yeah, it's kind of a survival mode to make art maybe.
Yeah.
But
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that, Carmen. So you have been in the States since 2017, I think you said.
Yeah.
So 4 years, your kid is 4 years old. You moved here with a newborn. Like, tell me about that experience. You know, having a kid and leaving your home country. And I don't know if you were newly married at the time, but it just sounds like a lot of transition all at once. and two of those years that you've been here have been COVID basically. So, you know, just curious to hear you kind of talk about that transition and what it was like to move here and kind of be a new mom, all at once.
Yeah. Oof. It's been like really tough for years. And
you've been in LA the whole time, right?
Yeah. Because my husband is doing a PhD at UCLA. So
okay.
Yeah, it's been really tough. And honestly, I think that at this point, like 4 years later, my body and my mind is kind of starting falling apart. Like I having a lot of migraines and issues because it's been hard. Like we are like a small team, three people, two adults, one kid, and we have just ourselves. Mm-hmm. Of course, during these 4 years, we make some friends, but I don't know. There's no grandparents. They're not aunties or whatever. They can like watch your kid for a couple of hours, that they can help you when you are sick or when you are tired, etc. So it's been like really, really tough years. So when I moved here, I decided a couple of months before move that I wanted to become an artist. Because I was
wait, say that again. You're like, we're moving to the US. I have a newborn. I think I'm gonna become an artist now. This is a good time.
Yeah, I know that it sounds crazy.
I love it. I love crazy.
Well, in Chile, I had a job that I love it. But also my plan when UCLA accepted my husband at the PhD, my plan was to probably take 1 year to learn, to practice more my English, and then try to find a job related with what I did in Chile, who was like public policy and prisons mostly. So at that period, I was like embroidering, but it was like more like a side project in my life. But when I realized that I was pregnant and that we had like a student budget, who is like really tight, and we didn't have like family here. So I was like, it doesn't make sense to me, like to go to the US and try to find a regular job and have all the stress that mean, of course, when you are like, you don't feel like confident in the language and everything. And also have to leave my kid with someone that I don't know at all.
Right.
I didn't have the money for do that.
Yes.
So that's why I say, like, okay, my husband was really worried at that point about, like, me and my own project, that he didn't want to me to become the traditional woman, you know, like the wife, the mom. So he was like, please, like, try to find someone, something that you want to do. So I was like, okay, people here love my embroidery, but I don't have the enough time to do, like, a better practice. So I'm going to become an artist in Los Angeles at the same time that I raised my kid.
So, I love that. I love that you just made the decision.
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of did that too. And I always feel a little weird about that because I feel like people are drawn to the, like, romantic, oh, I was always creative and I just couldn't help, like, making things all the time. And I always knew I wanted to be an artist. And I was like, I think I'm going to be a painter now. Like, I'm choosing art. I'm going to be an artist. You know, I was like 28 or I don't know how old I was, 25, something.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, of course I was creative, but it was not in my dream to become an artist. Also in Chile, the artist market is really small, so it's really hard to become an artist here too, but it's kind of different.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I'm going to get a, I'm going to try. My husband should take like 6 years to graduate. So 6 years in a kid is like probably the most hard, I don't know if the most hard years, but when they spend like more time at home. So I'm going to raise him and I'm going to give a shoot to my art. Mm. And that's what I've been doing. So I moved to Los Angeles with my fabrics, with my threads. We didn't have anything at the apartment the first couple of weeks, maybe months, like no couch, just a bed. And, you know, and I was embroidering with him in the floor, like the whole day, because my husband was the whole day at the university. Right. I didn't have friends. I didn't have anything here. And I had a newborn. So I was like kind of nervous to get out because I don't know, we didn't have a car, so take bus. Like, I don't know. It was like too many things. And I was like, I'm going to make this happen. And I started embroidering. And at the beginning, it was like more traditional than it's now because, well, I don't know. I decided that what I think is like, if you want to go further with your art, you need to like keep the practice going all the time. So that's what I did. Like, I started, now I see my art 4 years ago and it's like, it's more crafty probably.
Yeah.
But without that art, I will not able to become what I'm doing now. And I'm so curious what I'm going to be doing in 4 more years, you know?
Yeah. Like, and you're so prolific, Carmen, like you make so much work. So it's so interesting to think, like you said, kind of where you started this journey and what your life was like. And, you know, maybe the reality is like the constructs of your life haven't like changed that much because you still have your kid at home. Your husband's still at the PhD program. I don't know if you're in the same apartment that you started in.
Yeah, but the same.
Yeah. So just like a lot of those big things have remained the same, but like you've pushed so much energy into your work and it's like, you can see it, you know, you can kind of see the trajectory and the movement and the change. It's really exciting.
Also, one last thing about this, like for me, because we were alone and et cetera, and you know, like have your first kid, and I was not afraid like how take care of my kid because I had a lot of siblings. So it was not the first time that I was taking care of a baby.
Yes.
But I think that for me, my art and my practice is the thing that is been keeping me sane during the last 4 years. That's why I'm so prolific. I don't think myself like workaholic. Mm-hmm. It's more like this practice keep me sane, keep my mind busy, and I'm dreaming and hoping and working hard to become something so I can like spend like too much time, like being worried about, I don't know, or budget, or, oh, I wish the grandpas were here, or et cetera. So for me, I think that that's the reason, because I'm that prolific, because I embroidery, honestly, the whole day.
Yes, I love that. And yeah, I mean, you have a background in art therapy or an interest in it. You've studied it. And
yeah,
and I don't really like to draw the line between like, what is art therapy? Like to me, all art is therapeutic. Like every artist, I don't care. Like if you think that's an icky word or term, like you are trying to work through something. Like,
yeah.
And isn't that what therapy is? Like you processing your life and something in the world. And they're like, you like different ways that we can break that down, of course. But I love that you're just like owning, you know, what your work is for and why you make it. And you're just like going at it full force. Carmen, let's talk about studio, because what I see on your Instagram is that your home is your studio. Your studio is your home. Like there's not a lot of lines drawn between where your studio ends and where it begins. but I am interested just to hear a little bit about like kind of storage and like what you're working with in terms of materials. I don't know if you ever use a sewing machine or if you have some kind of work table. Like, can you talk to me a little bit about your setup and kind of how you keep your stuff organized and like a little bit about your space?
Yeah. Well, I know that when my husband here, listen, this is going to say like, oh, you are not organized. The threads are like, the cone threads are in my whole living room in the floor, like messing around. Sometimes we play bowling with my kid, with my threads cones. But yeah, mostly where my studio is in my living room. We live in a 2-bedroom apartment.
Okay.
So one bedroom is for the three of us, and the second bedroom is now my husband's studio because he has to teach and the school was closed.
Okay.
So I usually embroider in two positions, like sit down in the floor or in the couch with my sheets or the fabric, like in my legs. Yeah.
Your lap.
Yeah. And the other position is like stand up in front of my embroidery, who is hanging from the wall with nails. So my nail is full of holes.
Yep.
But there's when I can do like the long stitches and work with the like oversized embroideries. But I'm like always moving to in the both directions, stand up and then like sit down, because I like to work with my work, like watching him from distance and then like really, really close. So that's how I can like make some more colorful details and some movements, but at the same time when I'm like in front of the sheet and doing long stitches, it gets more like wild and more free. So that's like my and I have like some containers full of threads. I work with two or three different kind of threads, like the embroidery floss, who is like the for good brands, and also cheap ones, because different they have like different colors, and I always try to have as much colors as I can. And also I work with a lot of sewing threads. So I buy cones and cone of threads, and I prepare my own colors. Like I mix the threads before use it in the canvas.
Okay. So you might like have, you know, you might pull a few blue threads and a few yellow and kind of group them together as like one.
Exactly.
Like make a different variation in the color. And
yeah. I mean, I can do that like a new thread like full of blues, but also if my embroidery is gonna have like blue and red and pink and yellow, I make the transitions color in the same way. Mm. So I mix like blue with red, blue with pink, blue with yellow. So when you like take a zoom, I don't know, get closer to my embroidery, you can like see like tons of different like levels of threads and colors.
I'm thrilled to partner with our new sponsor, Cozy, to tell you more about this incredible app. Cozy is an app that specializes in keeping busy families organized. It's an app designed for multiple users to help you and your spouse, partner, or caretakers juggle school schedules, practices, meetings, doctor's appointments, and more. Cozy tracks everyone's schedules and events in one place with a shared, color-coded calendar. A feature I love is the app reminds others about your family's events so that you don't have to be the one who does that. It's easy to get started. You can even pull in events from your family's existing personal work and school calendars. You can have Cozy send everyone in your family a weekly or a daily email that shares your agenda. And I personally love the meal planning section. You can create a shared grocery list that lets the whole family add items in real time. So you'll never find yourself at the store without the list. Not that that's happened to you, but it's happened with me before. That list is always on your phone and it's up to date. If you need help figuring out dinner, there's even a place to store recipes and plan meals ahead. The best part? Cozy is free. Just download Cozy, C-O-Z-I, the Family Organizer app from your app store. That's Cozy, C-O-Z-I, and get the free app today. Visit your phone's app store or Google Play to download Cozy today. Start feeling more organized and keep your family communications simple this season. Thank you so much, Cozy, for sponsoring the Artist Mother podcast. Talk to me about your transition to sculpture. It seems like really in the past year, you've kind of started moving away from like things more traditionally stretched on a hoop or a panel or a frame and kind of getting more freeform with like just embroidering on bed sheets and then pillows that you are like twisting into these forms. And specifically some of these newer pieces I just love, like let me see, one, Imaginary Topographies.
Oh yeah.
You know, like that piece, there is so much tension and like movement packed in there. I'm wondering if that is just completely constructed with thread and pillow. Is that it?
It is.
How do you do that?
It's insane. Honestly, so much work. And it was really, really painful.
I was going to say your hands and wrists must be like iron. Yeah. I don't know.
But what I did is that I built first the sculpture with pillows and I embroidery a sheet. And then I upholster the sculpture with the embroidery. So it's kind of different than my first pillow series that was like, I was embroidering on the pillow.
Right.
But when I was embroidering on the pillow, I kind of lost my freestyle embroidery.
Yes.
Because it's really, really painful to embroidery pillows. But also you can get like, if you want to keep the shape of the pillow or some shape, if you do like super freestyle, you are gonna I don't know, lose the pillow.
Mm-hmm.
So what I've been exploring for the last, I don't know, 6 months probably, is like this mix of pillows that I can give them like some twisted and give some, I don't know, shapes that I have in mind, but I don't really have in mind. And at the same time, use my embroideries that I already did in sheets and covering the sculptures with that. So, okay. And why I'm doing this, I have no idea. I just realized like 1 year ago that I was And at the beginning, I was guilty about this. Like, I was like, oh, I'm being like super ambitious. Like, I'm, because even though I love my art, like, and I of course, I imagine my art like in home collectors' homes or whatever. It's like, I want to see my art in museums, like huge installations. Like, that's how I'm thinking my work now. That's like my dream. I don't know why. Maybe, yeah, it's like, it's of course like harder to sell the art, but for me it's like more challenging because I know that if you want to be like in those spaces, you really have to have like a unique art or like the competition probably is harder. I don't know. Maybe not, but that's what I think. So that's why I'm like trying to push forward my art as much as I can. Trying to like, to do things that I didn't see in other artists. That's why at the a couple of years ago, I started like embroidering in oversized sheets because I was like, okay, usually embroidery is in a small dimension. So if I want to be like,
you want to push the boundaries.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, I want to do something that other artists are not doing yet or whatever, because I'm being super ambitious.
Yes, and I love
it. At the beginning, I was like, oh no, I don't think that this is right because Catholic education. But then I was like, never mind. This makes me like really, really happy and it's keeping me sane. So why not? And yeah, the imaginary topographies that you mentioned is not like huge, but it's a big sculpture. And it was like you seeing my whole, or kind of my whole living room. So now I'm like in the moment that I want to do like bigger things, but at the same time, my apartment is not growing as fast as my ambitious. So I'm like, that's why I'm doing like kind of smaller sculptures and thinking in a way that I can like create big installations, but like in a puzzle way, maybe, so I can like store it easily. My art. I don't know.
Oh, I can see it, Carmen. You give yourself a few years. You're going to have a big warehouse studio. You're going to be like up in a crane embroidering the top of a sculpture. Like, I can totally see that.
Yeah, that will be amazing.
Yeah, I know you're going to do that. Like, you have it. You're going to do that. Carmen, talk to me a little bit about models. I feel like so many artists, especially artist mothers, we don't have a lot of models in our life for like seeing other artists who are kind of living the life that we want. And I'm wondering if you've had people in your life who you kind of have looked to and said, like, you know, this person is a mentor to me and they really have like shown me kind of, you know, like I've drawn inspiration from their life and I want to model my life after them. I'm curious if you've had models, and maybe if you haven't, like why you think that is.
Yeah, of course. Well, it's funny because a lot of like artists and moms that I knew or know now, it's like I hear for them by your podcast. Like it's been an amazing way to learn about other moms, an amazing artist. And I'm kind of weird maybe, but after I like the work of some artists, I like start talking to them.
Yes.
Like, I don't know, to interact. And so I'm at this point, I have a lot of mom and artist friends that I'm make just because I love their art and they were so inspiring. And so yeah, definitely a lot. And I think that is a great way to feel like supported in this in my way. It's amazing. I have like a lot of friends, and one one who is being like really, really important for me in the last, I don't know, I think that last year is Sarah Detweiler. I always pronounce bad his last name.
Yes.
But yeah, she's like, so funny. I went to one of her shows, group show in LA. She was not here. And I was like taking pictures, of course, and I share all those things through Instagram, like tagging her. And then we start talking and then we become friends. And now we're like, I think her like one of my sisters, like, you know, like it's great when you have like artists who are also moms. So you can talk about both problems. Like, oh, I get a rejection. Oh, my kid is not eating or whatever. And that introduced me to a community that she had.
Yes.
There are 9 girls were moms. And now I'm part of that community and we Zoom like 2 times per week. And it's being like amazing.
Amazing.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. There, I think that I'm one of the youngest. So it's cool because they have much more experience in both fields. So I'm really spoiled. But yeah, for me, it's been like really, really important, the community, like mom and artist community.
And it seems like social media, like specifically Instagram, has really been the main way that you've both made connections and like peers and friends and community with your art, but also really promoted your work and, you know, like you're consistently like putting it out there. I'm wondering if you just want to talk about any of the recent, like, you know, you've had a lot of exhibitions recently and things that you're doing. I didn't know if there's, other than just sharing your own work on Instagram and reaching out to artists, is there anything else that you're kind of doing to like promote your work and push your work out there that you feel like is really working for you right now?
I think that Instagram for me, even though I don't have like, I don't know, millions of followers, but when I moved to the States, I didn't have like any friends or networks here. So I decided, I was like, okay, Instagram is gonna be my way to share my art. And because I was not able to go like to too many openings and shows because we didn't have a car and Juan was like really, it was a newborn. So I was like consistently sharing my art and trying to interact with artists that I like and like communities that I like, etc. So it's, for me, it's been like really, really important. Like I have honestly like tons of friends that I make through Instagram and they're like in the whole world. And also for, I don't know, the last almost a year, I'm getting like some invitations to show with some galleries and etc. And the way, I mean, when I ask the galleries how did they found me, they're usually like through Instagram. Even though I'm applying for some calls than in the art calls platforms that exist. Instagram is being like really important, like way to show my art and to people to discover my art.
Yeah. Do you have any like advice or just like tips for people who want to use Instagram more effectively? What are some of the things that have kind of worked for you?
I'm kind of lost now with all the change on Instagram, but I don't try to spend so much energy trying to understand what's going on. So what I do is like I keep posting every day at the same time. Like I know that, I don't know, if I post at 7:30 in the morning, probably I'm gonna get like a lot of likes. So I try to post at that time. And then
you
like,
kind of find your peak time when your people are on.
And then I try to interact with the people who like or comment my work. Like if they like it, and try to be grateful and I don't know, like I try to like give to my followers the idea that it's a real person behind the account and that they can reach me. I'm sharing my life, my, maybe not with too many words because I'm always struggling with writing in English, but I don't know, like with a mess. And a lot of like artists and moms or people like feel really connected with.
Yes, with it's very real what you share. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but for me, it's like being consistent. It's like just try to share every day or every 2 days and then keep working. Because if you don't have like work to share or like you are always sharing the same, I don't know, like I try to have a lot of work to share.
Yeah, I love that. So Carmen, your kid is in school like really, really recently. And the past 4 years, you've been with your kid all the time, 24/7.
Exactly.
So I'm curious like how that transition is going for you and what you're doing with your time and how you feel, you know, it's kind of affecting your life. I know my kids recently have, you know, started school for the first time. And so many people were like, you're not going to know what you're going to do with yourself. Like, what are you going to do with all your time? And I'm just like, oh my gosh, I know exactly what I'm going to do with my time. Right? So I'm curious to know if you felt that way or if you're like, I don't know, like missing him a lot, or if you feel like it's a really good thing.
I think that both, because I always work with him around. It's kind of weird. Don't have him when I'm embroidering. But yeah, he started last week, and I got some invitations for the next month. So I'm having like meetings like all the mornings. I don't know why I'm so busy now. I'm not embroidering. I didn't embroider in the last week. So it's kind of weird. I try to.
Because your admin is picking up because your career is growing. And then now you got to become a marketing expert and a, you know, businesswoman and like. That work is going to increase the more.
And it's really, really hard. I mean, like, of course, I always say like, oh, I would love to show more my art and et cetera. But then I had like 4 shows during the summer. And I was like getting crazy with all the paperwork that you have to have done, all the shipping pieces and the meetings with the curator. So it's a lot of work. Yeah. I didn't think how much work was before this summer. Mm-hmm. Now I'm like, I want to go further. But of course, like, as further you go, it's like much work. Like, if you make bigger art, you have to deal with much more problems. Like, storage, how are you going to hang it? Like, packing, I don't know. Like, it's so many, like, side details that... Mm-hmm. are driving me crazy already.
Yeah. And like, hopefully that's just kind of stuff that you'll learn along the way. But I agree with you that, you know, it's like we have this drive to make and to show and to do the thing. And then when you like actually get into the shows and have to do like, I don't know, it just opens up this whole other set of work that you have to do that maybe then you're like, well, wait, I just want to be making the work, but it's it's a cycle that just keeps.
Yeah, but it's a business. Like if you don't do well that part of the job, you can, I don't know, you are going to build a bad reputation about you. So.
That's why you just got to get through to the point where you can hire an assistant.
Yeah.
Right? Like all artists need admin assistants, and then we can just keep making the work.
Yeah, exactly. That's a dream.
Another dream. You're on the crane. You've got the warehouse studio. You're on a crane, and there's an assistant like shipping all your other stuff.
Yay. Or I have to train Juan to do that.
Like, yes, that too. Or your husband. He can get his PhD and then come work for you.
No, he's amazing. He's the one who does most of my like when I'm applying to shows and stuff. Oh, nice. He does that part of the job. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, Carmen, a couple more questions before we wrap up. I feel like I've been smiling this whole hour. Your energy is just contagious. Okay, so just interested to hear about some goals that you have. We've kind of talked like bigger picture goals, but I didn't know if there's anything that you're working on. Like, I really want to figure out how to stitch 10 pillows together, or like, what are some things that you are working on kind of more tangibly right now? And it could be, you know, a specific thing in the studio, or it could be like, I'm really trying to get gallery representation in the next year. Like, yeah. Kind of interested to hear.
I got my first residency this week, and I'm going to be during September working in Los Angeles in a project that probably is not going to be done in 1 month. But what I think that you saw my Instagram piece that I shared a couple of weeks ago, who is like pink, neon pink. And it's like kind of a sculptural, but also you can hang it in the wall.
Yes.
Yeah.
Something about the sunrise.
Yeah.
I think it's called. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so a great piece.
What I have on mind, because as I was telling you, for me, my art is really cathartic. It's in the house, like, all the time. Like, it's with me, like, I don't know if it's hugging myself. But for me, it's like mental health, keeping me sane, hugging myself. Like, mm-hmm. it's really like, well, it's super tactile. But so I always have this idea of, like, share with the public this surround them with my work. I think that it happens always, but I want to like do it like better, because people always say like, I want to touch your work, I want to, like, they get closer and they go further, so they watch my work in those ways. So what I'm doing now is I want to build like hopefully one room like full of these like embroidery, who is like getting out of the wall, who is like, I don't know, trying to reach to the
I love that.
So because I don't have a studio, what I'm doing is that I'm building the pieces like separately. So okay. The pink one that you know is going to be one of a big puzzle, hopefully.
Wow. Carmen.
So, and that's a lot of work. Like, I don't think that you can imagine how much work is, because even though that square is like, I don't know, 16 inches per 16 mm-hmm. inches, so a small canvas, the embroidery sheet has to be like probably more than the double to cover those four pillows, who are giving the volume to the piece.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of work. It's really slow, but I love the idea to do something that I can, like, I don't know, to hug the people when they like go into this room who doesn't exist yet.
Yes, so, I need a hug from your work. Definitely.
Yeah. So that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm working now, piece by piece, like really, really slow. And I would love to have, like, I don't know if a solo show or like a small group show where I can show this installation. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm working on that now.
I love it. Carmen, what's your definition of success? What does success mean to you?
I feel really successful. I think that...
Yes, queen. Yes.
Not always. There are some days that I like, I'm a mess. I'm ashamed. I don't know. But yeah. Today, I feel really successful. For me, it's like be able to live doing what you love.
Mm.
Yeah. So at this point, for me now, it's being able to be creating my art and showing them and hopefully selling them.
Mm.
Yeah. And of course, with my kid, like being able to to be a mom and an artist at the same time is part of the success. Like, that's why I'm feeling success now, because I've been working for the 4 years with my kids around, with not mm-hmm. help. And even though I'm not the perfect mom that I wish I am, I be, like, I'm being able to raise a kid mm-hmm. and at the same time to be showing my art and to do what I love. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah,
those are two really big things.
Yeah.
And to do them in a way that, you know, you feel good about it and you feel successful, I think, I don't know, that's what we all, most of us listening here, kind of hope for, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Carmen, you're amazing. I feel like I could go for a run, just like picking up your energy and your joy.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've loved this conversation. We're going to close with 5 final questions, just for us to get to know you a little bit better. So tell me, who's your biggest art crush?
Oof, I have a lot of crush. But right now I have 3 on mine.
Okay.
And they are related with this idea of installations, art installations. The first one is Joana Vasconcelos.
Okay.
I don't know if you know her. She's a Portuguese artist. Then Gabriel Dawe.
Okay.
And Suchitra Matai.
I was going to ask if you know Suchitra's work.
Yeah. I love her work.
Yeah.
I always telling her that.
Yes. She's amazing. Post. She's so generous and nice.
Yeah, she is.
I was in Denver this summer and got to see a couple of her pieces in her her K gallery that represents her. They had a couple of her pieces showing. So I got to stop in and see. It's even better in person.
Oh, no, I can imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Carmen, what is your favorite place to travel or a dream trip you'd like to go on?
Oh, before COVID, I have a huge list of places to travel. But after 3 years without being able to go home, now we just want to go home and eat our food and have grandparents around and be able to talk for too many hours with our friends. So Chile.
Yes, I bet your family just can't wait to hug that kid of yours.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope you get there soon.
Yeah, me too. Hopefully at the end of the year.
Yes. Okay, Carmen, what film or book has inspired you greatly?
I'm not proud about this, but lately I just watch or read like really soft and light books or movies that makes me laugh and whatever, sleep like well at night, not deep end of the world movies, etc., because I think that I have enough with the reality.
Me too, girl.
So one of the when it's not a film, it's a series that I love and it makes me laugh so much. It's Grace and Frankie from
Did you see they have new episodes?
Yeah, I already watched the last 4.
I haven't started yet because we were just finishing something else. But yes, I love Grace and Frankie. It's so funny.
It's perfect for me.
It's just like heartwarming, you know, you don't need anything else like at the end of the day.
Exactly.
You're right.
Yeah.
Carmen, what's your favorite meal?
Oh, fries.
Oh, nice. I thought you were going to say like Chilean food, but
oh, fries. Well, of course, like some dishes, but I bought an air fryer a couple of months ago, and now I eat fries as much as I can or want, and it's amazing.
Ah, I love it. So they work well, like potatoes cook good in the air fryer?
Oh, yeah. Nice. So well.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, Carmen, and always like to close by giving you an opportunity to give a shout out to someone who you really just want to thank for supporting you and your work.
Oh, yeah. I have a huge list. As I was telling you, for me, in the last 4 years, it's been like super deeply huge, important, the community that I've been building. And I was like, really grateful and honored when some artists that I admire like early, they start like calling me like an artist too. Like when they start recognizing myself like one of part of them, like I was like, oh, this is working. So yeah, of course, your community, like Artist Mother Podcast, is being like really important. Then like the art queens, and then Sara and Tara and all my friends for the art night that I mentioned before.
Okay.
And then I don't know if you know Katy Ville and Amanda Maciel, and also Gabriel Dawe that I mentioned before. He's an amazing artist, and also he's like an amazing person. And he's like a really amazing support and an inspiration. But yeah, I and of course my husband, he's yeah.
What's he studying, by the way? What's his PhD going to be
In sociology.
Okay, nice.
And he's also doing a master in stats, so kind of a nerd. A real nerd. But an amazing person to apply for grants and make statements. So he's like so important.
Everyone needs a Pablo.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Oh, Carmen.
You can't do everything. So.
Okay, where can people find you? Because everybody needs to go follow you, and they need to find your work on your website and look at what you've got going on. So tell me your website and your Instagram title, handle. Where can
folks find you? Yeah, but I can't spell it because I'm really bad at that.
I can spell it. It's right here.
Thank you. Yeah. So you can find me in my website, carmenmardones.com. And if you want to follow me like for a closer view, I don't know.
Yes,
a more intimate
they do.
One,
they need to go follow you right now.
You can find me on Instagram at Desbordado.
Is Desbordado.
Yes, exactly. I picked the name because, you know, bordado in Spanish is embroidery.
Nice.
So I was not embroidering in a traditional way, so I was like an embroidery, something like that. So desbordado is that like you are making the opposite or kind of that. But also desbordado is when you are full and you start like splashing out, like, I don't know, a cup of water, if you like put like all the water that is able to have, and then like start like feel falling apart, like getting outside the water. I don't know what is the word in English, but in Spanish is also desbordado. Like it is not enough space for what you are putting in. Something like
that's that. Perfect. I'm so glad I brought that up, because I've always wanted to know like why that's your Instagram name.
Yeah,
that's beautiful. Awesome. Carmen, you are such a gem. I know everybody is going to be smiling and like eager to get in their studio after they hear this. So thank you so much for sharing more about your work. Appreciate you.
The Artist Mother Podcast is curated and produced by Kaylin Butine. Music by Josh Middleton. Editing and mixing by John M. Butine. Please visit www.artistmotherpodcast.com for episode notes and to find out how you can further support this podcast.